You're listening to SBS News.
On a whiteboard inside Facebook's sprawling Menlo Park campus, Sarah Sue is drawing a diagram to explain exactly how its newsfeed algorithm decides what you see.
The goal of this algorithm is to figure out from all of the stories that we might be able to show you when you open up Facebook, what is the most personally meaningful, personally relevant.
This ranking algorithm provides the instructions for one of Facebook's most important and controversial problems, what to show you. Sarah Sue says explaining the algorithm's inner workings is Facebook asking users to trust it again.
We're in it for the long haul. I think, you know, trust can be lost in an instant, but it takes time to rebuild.
The algorithm looks for what users engage with, signals, Ms. Sue calls them, such as which posts you and people in your friend circle like, share, or comment on.
For each of these stories, we look at hundreds of thousands of signals. And it could be who posted it, was it your friend, was it a page that you follow, when was it posted. We know that people care a lot about stories that are fresh. It might be other things like how many people have liked or reacted to that story, how much engagement it's gotten so far. And we can use these signals to make a series of predictions. And these are our best guesses about different ways that the story might be meaningful to you.
She says they simply score each story's relevance.
And from all of these signals and predictions, we come up with a number. And we show you the highest scoring stories first.
In January, the company announced a redesign, promising less fake news or clickbait and more posts from friends and family. There were howls of protest from business pages which lost out and viral hoaxes suggesting the newsfeed would now only show you posts from 25 friends. Sarah Sue says it's actually designed around what Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg called meaningful social interaction.
We're weighting stories that are more likely to spark conversations. That will result in them numerically getting a higher relevance score, and they'll start to show up earlier in people's newsfeeds.
And what does this have to do with Facebook's trust problem? The revelations in March that Facebook knew but hadn't acted on Cambridge Analytica's misuse of Facebook users' data reignited the still smouldering scandal of Russian interference in 2016's presidential election and again called into question the ethics of social media companies whose business models were based on gathering ever-increasing slices of their customers' attention. Younger users in particular turned off and Facebook's share price plummeted. Paul Werner, an analyst with the firm eMarketer, explains why trust and Facebook's fortunes are so closely linked.
There is a fundamental truth that trust is the real currency that all these platforms depend on, because without that, you can't build the social network and you can't attract advertisers.
Now, America's first midterm elections under Donald Trump loom in November, and SBS has been granted access to observe the social media giant's efforts to prevent itself from again being a platform for election manipulation, misinformation, or hate speech. Monica Bickert is in charge of Facebook's content policies, its rules for what people can and can't say.
The more we can tell people about what we're doing to draw the lines on speech and to enforce those lines, the better. You can go to the site and you will see the same guidance that we are giving our reviewers.
Observers like Stanford social media professor Jeff Hancock says Facebook's policy of transparency is also motivated by fear of legislators in Washington.
Here in Silicon Valley, regulation is kind of like a dirty word. The clock's ticking, I think, and unless they start demonstrably doing better at dealing with misinformation, manipulation, all the way to more social things like bullying, the more likely it is that the government will step in and start regulating this.
Facebook's response has been huge investments in teams of content moderators and machine learning technology. They've helped it remove over 580 million fake accounts in the first quarter of 2018 and take down over 650 Iranian and Russian-backed pages for what it calls coordinated inauthentic behaviour. But Facebook's Monica Bickert acknowledges those stats alone won't convince people.
We're definitely getting better at finding this sort of activity and stopping it in terms of...
But are people recognising that?
In terms of communicating with people, I think there's more we need to do.
Facebook won't say how users are responding, but a new survey released this month by the Pew Research Center backs that sentiment. Over half the adult Facebook users in America still don't understand how the newsfeed works, and in the last 12 months, nearly three quarters have either stopped using Facebook or scaled back their use. The company's harshest critics believe Facebook is perhaps reaping what it's sown, seeing its present problems as the consequence of pursuing growth at all costs for so long. But staff like Sarah Sue believe that by acknowledging wrongdoing and working to atone for its mistakes, Facebook can recover.
It's always hard to read negative press about the work that you're doing, but I think that really underlines for all of us on this team how important that work is, and that keeps us going every day.
If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher, or Wooshka.